To be with God's people, that's the most precious thing for not a fellow believer and for my wife to fellowship together. There's nothing greater than to be with God's people. So regardless how long we had to travel, it is again a tremendous privilege for us to be with you and to have received such grace, even with my own weaknesses, in bringing the Word of God where I see my own insufficiencies, where I'm learning to grow myself because I'm in need of growing in God's Word. But to see your graciousness and kindness, how you have received us and how you treat us as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, my wife and I am very grateful and thankful for that, because it truly speaks that God is in the midst of His people and that you, being His people, show that you are Christ's, that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And so, again, thank you so much, and the pastor and his beloved wife to allow us to stay in their home. And what a nice thing is to just walk from the hallway over and here you are. You don't need to drive nowhere. You know, you're already here. It's good. It's good. And so I trust and pray as we're going to look this Sunday morning, I want to look at true freedom. That true freedom we have in Christ because of Christ. I want to look at that this morning, and we're going to be in the book of Galatians for that. Please turn to the book of Galatians chapter 2. And I recognize and I understand that you are very familiar with this truth that I will bring to you this morning. But it is always important to be reminded thereof, because they are so pivotal to who we are, what God has done in His marvelous work for His glory and for our good. That's what it is. It's always for His glory, but it is for our good, because God is good. God is good, beloved. I'm looking back, He did me never any wrong. Never, ever. And I know from experience, He did never any wrong to any of you, because that is not in His nature. Just think of it. God becoming man, God, the eternal God, giving Himself to the cross, the one who gave Himself, how could He do us any wrong? No, we who did Him wrong, we who are the vile ones, He stooped down to pick us up, to give us life. So I appreciate it very much what Pastor said and what our dear brother was sharing in that devotion. What a blessing to have men in the midst of the congregation who are called and gifted by God to speak and to bring the Word, and to love the Savior for saving them. And what a privilege for us to express now this love in His own Word. Isn't that amazing? We are expressing His love that we experience in His own words. And it blesses us, it enriches us, conforms us more and more into His image. They're not our words. They're His words. Because I wouldn't know what to say if I was saying my words. It would be no good anyway. It wouldn't do nothing. Because my personal words have no eternal life in them. But His word is eternal life. Amen. There's life in His word. And so what a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. But let's read this text, what I have in mind here. We're going to look at in Galatians 2:16 down to 19. And then we shall pray and we'll look into this. Paul writes this in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified, he says, by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Oh, dear Lord, as we gather together this wonderful Lord's Day morning, to be under your word, to fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we desire to hear your gospel, as we desire to hear from you, to be stirred in our hearts, mind, and soul, to draw closer to thee, and to have more love and more compassion for one another in the prayers, as we heard the requests for our dear beloved who have great physical needs, O Lord, maybe even emotional needs, whatever they are. O God, may we cry to thee and look to thee and pray, knowing that you will provide that which is necessary and needed for each one of us. So Holy Spirit, please use me. Grant the grace to a weak and feeble vessel as myself to bring your word and clarity and truth for the edification and building up of your people, O God. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Let me give you a few historic descriptions concerning the book of Galatians, which we just looked at these verses, which is before us. Martin Luther himself, you're absolutely familiar with his name and maybe even of some of his writings, considered Galatians the best of all the books in the Bible. That's what his view was on that book. It also has been called the battle cry of the Reformation, the book of Galatians. The great charter of religious freedom. For Christians, it is known as the Declaration of Independence. We as Americans are very familiar with what it means to have a Declaration of Independence. Here, this book is understood and seen as the Declaration of Independence. Beloved, we are speaking of true freedom. We're going to look at what true freedom is. True freedom. This epistle is important because in any age, it answers the basic question asked by the human heart. How can I find happiness? How can I find peace? How can I find calmness? How can I find freedom from fear, sin, and bondage? This epistle, beloved, teaches us in one's own strength, in one's own strength, and by one's own wisdom, man is totally unable to discover this answer. All the self-help books from yesteryear, or all other writings, religious writings, are incapable of answering this question. But for all of those who are willing to take God Himself at His own word, Galatians shows the way to true freedom. Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Galatians, "Stand fast, therefore," he tells the Galatians, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. And be not entangled again, Paul is saying to the Galatians, as he's speaking to us today, with the yoke of bondage. Therefore, stand firm, we could say it this way, and don't let yourselves be tied up again to a yoke of slavery. Saying the same thing, just a little bit differently. Genuine liberty is neither in legalism, you cannot find it there, nor in libertarianism. It's not there either. It is strictly and only found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find it nowhere else. It's impossible. Genuine liberty, listen very carefully. Genuine liberty, it is the freedom of bondage to Christ. Very different. You don't want to be in bondage to sin. You want to be to bondage to Christ. Genuine liberty consists in becoming a captive of God's own word. That is, surrendering oneself to the triune God as He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures to us in Christ Jesus unto salvation. This freedom is discovered when one is willing to abstain from every attempt to save himself. To save himself. And if he glories in the cross and trusts in Christ as the fulfiller of the law. Paul says this, but God forbid, in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, Paul says, and I do the world. Paul was glorying in the cross. He was looking to the cross. And in Galatians 3:13, he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So he trusted in Christ as the fulfiller of the law. No wonder that the great apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, he tells us, I live by faith, he says, of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For all of those, beloved, who by God's sovereign grace been led to do this, the law ceases forevermore to be the means of attaining happiness, or being the ticket for anyone to go to heaven after his death. When guided by Christ's Spirit, the redeemed out of gratitude for the salvation which he has received as a gift. As a gift. Begins to adorn his life with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such, the Scripture tells us, there is no law, Galatians 5, 22-23. Interestingly enough, when Paul was writing the Galatians, in chapter 1, verse 6, it tells us something, because the Galatians, having begun their Christian walk by faith, seem content to leave their walk of faith by replacing it based on works. And therefore, we are not to wonder when we read this wonderful epistle to the Galatians, how vigorously Paul attacked against the gospel of works, how he attacked it and defends the gospel of faith. For blessing comes from God on the basis of faith, not law. We have good works, beloved, not to get saved, but because we are saved, we have good works. And Paul couches it this way in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. So whatever we ever do, the good works we ever have are because of his workmanship in us. So what even these are, in one sense, are not ours. They all are his as much as we are doing this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, Paul says, which God prepared before the foundation of the world, which God prepared beforehand, the Scripture says, that we should walk in them, which in one sense were prepared before the foundation of the world, that we may walk in them. So true freedom, the teaching concerning of justification by faith, is what separates biblical Christianity from all other systems of religion. It separates it. In every religion and in some branches of what is called Christianity, and we know it is not, man is working his way to God. But only in true biblical Christianity is man saved as a result of grace through faith. Only when we have a God-centered, not a man-centered, biblical interpretation of Scripture, we see that justification by faith apart from works is by faith apart from works. A little bit some understanding on what is justification. The word justification, what does it mean? The word justification means pronounced or treated as righteous. For a Christian, justification is the act of God not only forgiving the believer's sins, but imputing to him the righteousness of Christ. The Bible states in several places that justification only comes through faith. Through faith. Paul in Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, he tells us, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
In Galatians 3:24, he says it this way, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, he says, to bring us unto Christ. That was the purpose of it, that we might be justified by faith. Amen. Justification is not earned through our own works. Rather, we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, he says. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, because we would. And man already boasts by doing work, thinking that he will enter heaven, not realizing that the wrath of God is abiding upon him continuously because he is denying the work of God. By thinking that there's something about him that he can save himself or do something that is pleasing to God, when the works we have are to edify God and it has nothing to do with the creature in the sense that he is something special, but that God is so merciful and gracious to work through me that I can be a vessel of honor for his glory.
Therefore, Paul says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Let me read that again. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Hallelujah. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you're not a new creature in Christ Jesus. Without that new birth, without being made alive, we were once dead and we are now made alive. There's nothing. The Christian being declared righteous is thus free from the guilt of sin. And what a blessed truth that is. Now let me look at three simple points concerning true freedom. After my little introduction, true freedom is to be justified. That's true freedom. Nothing is as important for a child of God than to know the sure ground of his acceptance with God in Christ. That is the most important understanding for the believer. Paul's account in our text is short, plain, simple. Look at verse 16. Knowing, he says. Knowing. The word knowing he uses. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul's reasoning here, Paul's explanation here is clear. The law of God demands, we know that God's law demands unsinning obedience. Unsinning obedience. Which means the slightest deviation, beloved, will declare you guilty. And then the offender of the slightest deviation is guilty to the full penalty of the law of disobedience. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, the second part says this, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Paul in Romans 3:23 tells us this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none. There is none. They all have fallen short. They all have sinned. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. That's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing it. In other words, all mankind have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it must undeniably follow that therefore by the works of the law can no flesh be justified in God's sight. It's impossible. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, as Paul tells us in Romans 3:20. A short and plain summary of what Paul says is this, what, as we're looking at it, and it's right in chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 16, the first few thoughts here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That's just a summary of what I just said. But Paul doesn't stop here. Paul now turns from the law to the gospel. Hallelujah. The glorious gospel. That's where Paul is turning. But by faith of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel right there. So he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Right here, the Apostle Paul declares Christ as the only justifying cause before God and His people. On this scriptural or biblical ground, Christ Jesus is our head, our surety, and our representative. Obeyed the law perfectly. Perfectly. Not only did he obey the law perfectly, but suffered the whole penalty of the law by his death. Christ suffered for our violations, beloved, of the law by his own death. That's what he did. Which Paul sums up with these words. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, he says. Being made a curse for us, Paul says. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:13. Therefore, Paul wrote in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, he says, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So if you try to work yourself into heaven, never going to happen. Never going to happen. It only going to happen in Christ. And it only going to happen in having faith in Christ. And His works and His works alone. In these verses, as we looked at 2:16 and 3:13, we have a full confirmation of redemption by Christ. That's where we get our encouragement, our strength. That's how we learn and know that we are safe and secure in the Savior, because who can snatch any one of His people out of His hands? No one. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. What a blessing that is. At the same time, we have as well the confirmation of being condemned by the law. We understand that the law is condemning us, and rightfully so, because I'm a lawbreaker. But Christ's obedience and death, being set forth by God Himself for propitiation, now we have peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? The atonement of Christ.
Now we have peace with God. True freedom. True freedom. Paul puts it in Romans 3:25 this way. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation, an atonement, making peace with God, okay, through faith in his blood, he says, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through forbearance of God. In Ephesians 1:7, he says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah! Glory and honor to our God that we have now such a position which is given to us as a gift by God. Nothing can be more plain and satisfactory than that we have redemption through Christ's blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of all our sins according to the riches of his grace, we see right there in Ephesians 1:7. Now, the way in which this obedience and bloodshedding of Christ becomes the cause of the justification of the people before God is by virtue of their union with Christ and their interest in Christ. It's not just the union, but we have the union now with Christ, but now we have an interest in Christ. In other words, we want to know about Christ because we want to become like Christ. Christ and his people in the eye of God's righteous law are one. Colossians 1:27 says this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, that union, the hope of glory. Therefore, what Christ did is as if I would have done it. Isn't that amazing? I didn't do it. But because of faith, because of the work of God, the gift of faith, it's now like I did it. And in the full work what Christ suffered is as if we had suffered. Because Christ is our substitute. For Christ acted as our surety. And in the full work of Christ Jesus, God declares himself well pleased with him. Both law and justice must discharge the original debtors, having come upon the surety which is Christ, and the dead having been fully paid. Amen. No wonder that Paul writes in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation, he tells us, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, he says this, who walk not after the law of works, okay, but after the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, and on. Because these are the fruits of the new creatures of the Spirit in him. So justified before God, the believer's joy and peace. That is the believer's joy and peace, being justified before God. Amen. The heart, or the heart's enjoyment of this blessed state of justification before God, is only
in the person and by the redemption of Christ, or redemptive work of Christ, we could call it, which becomes the right of every regenerated child of God in all its fullness by faith. So Paul declares, we are justified, he says, by the faith of Jesus Christ. But the whole work and glory of it is Christ's. Let me say that again. Paul declares, we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. But the whole work and glory of it is Christ's. Yet, we the church enjoy it by faith. But yet, we the church enjoy that by faith. Such is our joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul puts it this way in Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, he says, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't be hopeless. We have all reason to hope. We have all reason to rejoice. We have all reason to be thankful, because we know where we are going. We shall be with him in glory. He will not. The work God began in us, the good work he began in us, he is faithful to complete it to the end. It doesn't say we are to do it. No, he is faithful to complete it, because we could never do it. We could never do it. In closing, without an understanding of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, we cannot truly receive the glorious gift of grace. In other words, God's unmerited favor becomes merited. What I mean with that, it becomes something like, it is due to me, I deserve it. Look at me. No, look at Christ. Don't look at me. You follow me, I'd lead you to hell. You need to follow Christ. We don't follow man, we follow Christ. And as they teach God's word, we pray for them because of the responsibility they have, because their judgment is so much greater. Now we keep them in prayer that God will continually use them to bring his truth, that we can have life and have it more abundantly as we live in this life, to be that witness we are called to be in the highways and byways, to proclaim that glorious word of our Savior, not on our own merit and strength, but on the merits and strength that is within us through the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. To proclaim that gospel. And beloved, that's good works. And that's good works. The doctrine of justification by faith helps us maintain a pure devotion to Christ. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means, he says, there, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So let us never lose sight of that simplicity, because it is Christ who did it. So don't try to do it. It's simple. Trust in him. Follow him. Obey him. Don't let anybody tell you to put a burden on you that you need to do such and such. No, we go out because Christ is in us. Not to gain a greater understanding of Christ, but to glorify him for what he has done. That when we gather together in the house of worship, that we can rejoice together how good God is. And how we as his people have true life and true freedom. And are set free from the bondage we were once under. Sin.
holding to justification by faith alone in Christ alone keeps us from falling for the lie that we can earn heaven. There's no ritual, as I already said. There's no sacrament, no deed that can make us worthy of the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing we could do. All I just said, I'm just saying it differently again. Just in different words. Same thing. As we know, it is only by grace through faith that God has accredited to us the holiness of His Son. That's where it is. Interestingly enough, and in one sense it's not interestingly enough, it's expected actually that both the Old and New Testament say the just shall live by faith. This is not just in the New Testament, it's also in the Old Testament, that the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 tells us that very clearly, which reads as follows: Behold, his soul which lifted up is not upright in him. Arrogant. Lifted up. A lifted up soul. But the just shall live by his faith. Paul puts it this way in Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, he says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He continues by telling us in Galatians 3:11, no wonder that book is so highly praised and all these wonderful things being spoken of. He says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 10:38, we read, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Anyone want to go back to works? I don't. I just have been redeemed from it. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Amen. I'm running from it as far as I can. And in the same token, I want to show forth that gift of God in me by doing that which honors Him, to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Also know this, that you will never enter into the joy in Christ's saving grace, before Christ will empty and strip you of all and every supposed quality in yourself and in your own self-ability. You must see yourself lost before you will ask for saving grace. For Christ will never be precious to you until sin is seen to be exceedingly sinful to you. And no one will rightly esteem Christ's righteousness while thinking there is really nothing unacceptable about him before God. Those are serious matters, aren't they? So we are justified by grace alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. So there it is. Again, we are justified by grace alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. That's it, beloved. And that's where it needs to be. Because that's where the creature who is created in God's image has full fulfillment. He's fully satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied in Christ. Because He satisfies my soul. Before I was longing and searching and wanting and not really know where I fit or what I fit. But now I'm content. And I'm satisfied because of Him. How glorious that satisfaction will be in glory when we experience throughout eternity the fullness thereof. So God calls us sovereignly, doesn't He?
And how does he do it? By quickening the sinner through the Holy Spirit. That's how he does it. As he hears the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed. So in the cross, God displays his justice and mercy. So may these few thoughts this morning encourage each one of you that we have true freedom in Christ. And beloved, allow nothing, not even self. You heard me to say what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news of deliverance, of self, sin, the righteous wrath of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So do not allow even self to try to bring you back to bondage. Look to Christ. Continually study the Word and be vigilant with it. And be that light and that testimony that is within you in a world that is in total chaos, in total confusion. But we, God's people, are not in cares, nor are we in confusion. Because our God is not a God of confusion. He's the God who created this universe, who created us, and who gave himself for his church, that we have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you so much for treating us so royally, my wife and me. Again, it is a privilege for us to be with you all. And may the Lord continually bless you and your pastor and this church, that you prosper and grow for the glory of Christ. And that when we shall meet again, that we can rejoice together again of the goodness of our God, as he is bringing us from this life to the eternal life, which is prepared for those who love him. Yes. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the church, for the people, for all you're doing. Forgive me of my own weaknesses. Forgive me of my own feebleness, O God. But I thank thee for thy truth and for thy kindness. Holy Spirit, fill this place. And if there's anyone lost in his trespasses and sins, save him, O God, that they may come to that knowledge as we are, to rejoice in such liberty and freedom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen.